listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut, but homicide be looking at you from the face down. The Mac 11 even boom with the bass down, scheming. And let me tell you about my life. Painkillers only put me in the twilight. With pretty pussy and Benjamin is the highlight. And I tell my mama I love her, but this what I like. Lord knows. 20 of them in my Chevy. Tell them all to come and get me, reaping everything I sold. So my karma coming heavy, and having no preliminary record, hearing them. So my record and my motherfucking gang sign stands silence for the record. That was a mouthful.
Yes.
Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And we are in the house. What is today? Monday?
I don't know. We've been up and down before, nigga.
When the pride was low, this is one of them type of we gonna be all right weeks.
I'm trying to tell you.
But you know what? We all gonna be all right.
Yes. Kendrick New.
So yeah, this is the Blackout Tips podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, RSS Radio, everywhere that podcasts are, Google Play, all those places. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme at the day marks day 572 that Bobby Schmurder has been locked up in jail. $2 million bail. Free Bobby. And today's show is also sponsored. Today's show is sponsored by Loot Crate. This episode is brought to you by Loot Crate, which is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter offer code TBGWT to get $3 off of any new subscription. This month is futuristic. That is the theme. And you can get all kinds of cool stuff, Rick and Morty, Futurama, Star Trek, Mega Man, Valiant Comics, just all kinds of stuff, in the box. So make sure you guys go sign up using code TBGWT and you'll get $3 off of any new subscription at lootcrate.com/TBGWT. All right, let's get into the news. This is, still a whole lot of news out there. You know, some of it's depressing. Some of it is good. Some of it is all over the place. Most of it's depressing, if we're being honest, guys.
Yep.
The good news is I got to spend some time with my niece today.
Which was everything.
Yeah, me and Karen, we got to hang out with Layla today. I was really looking forward to this. Especially after last week with all the death and killing and all the shit that you know you just see all the time. Sometimes you forget, you know, or not forget, but you just need to be reminded that you know, there's still so much good in this world, you know, despite how fucked up things can be.
Right.
You know, on a big level. Sometimes, you know, you need to hang out and rejoice with each other and stuff. So today we had like a pretty much a full day hanging out with my niece. We, went, and saw The Secret Life of Pets.
Yes.
Which we all enjoyed.
A lot.
And, I officially have cleared it with her parents, so premium people will be getting some first ever Layla speaking on the podcast movie review. So we'll put that out soon.
She the kid correspondent. Boy, she was dropping some knowledge. I was like, hey, I didn't know that.
Right.
Like, that's why we need you around.
She was super excited. She was like, man, y'all need to have me back on here.
Yeah.
So we can make sure we do some more of these kids movies. I said, I got you, dog.
At first, she was scared.
Right. She says, it's going to be scary. I said, it's going to be just like when you talk to us. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, like all superstars.
She shined.
The 3-time season MVP.
Yeah. She thought that she played basketball, y'all. She said, I was the MVP. I was gone. I was like, yes. Me and Roger started shouting MVP in the car. Mm-hmm. Embarrassing the hell out of her.
MVP. She was great on the show. And you know, y'all will get to see that, you know, she's every bit as super funny and stuff as we talk about.
Yeah, she's hella funny.
Yeah. So don't worry, it's G-rated. It's like the first episode of anything we've done.
It is clean.
You can play for kids and everything.
Yeah. So the kid friendly movie is really kid friendly.
Right, yeah. We kept it completely G-rated.
Yep.
I think people will enjoy that review, and it'll be up soon.
Yeah, we had a real, real good time with her coming back. Roger started playing some kid bops. Me and Layla protested.
Yeah, I played kids bop, and apparently that's not what's the business for Layla or Karen. Both of them, they wanted me to go back to jazz. I mean, that's the thing. I'm not around kids often, so I don't have a kids playlist. I need to go through and find hip hop that I can like take the explicit out of, you know, but and find the clean mess. Version.
Mm-hmm. He's playing the kid friendly Drake. I was like, mm-mm.
Yeah, it's like, wasn't that Hotline Bling?
I know.
That can only mean one thing. Ever since I left middle school.
I know. Ever since I took that test, you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
I was like, boo, boo. I almost forgot she was in the car. I was in the back seat. I was like, if you don't turn that shit, no, boo. Boo, I'm also interrupting you, turn that shit off.
Yeah, but, you know, I felt like, you know, I was trying to find something that, some happy medium. But what we settled on was I have an old school hip hop playlist that I'm subscribed to on Tidal, the Essential Hip Hop 1979 to 1985. And, it's just a stroke of luck and genius. I realized at that time, none of them songs have cuss words on it.
And that was better.
I don't know when when hip hop started, nobody was cussing. Like, were they waiting on Ice Cube and NWA to come through? Cause, you know, all these songs I was playing, it was all like, I'm just trying to catch the beat. You know, like it was all just, you know, and all the girls in the world, if you're down with the swirl, say Earl.
Yeah.
No, it was all that kind of shit.
Yes, because we had Salt and Pepper at the table, so we just kept making Salt and Pepper puns. We got to remember. That's not probably like 30.
No, ain't no we. You. I did remember.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Karen was like, we should play that. And we get in the car. I said, Karen, what? Because I was like, I said, can you pass me Salt and Pepper? And she said, yeah. So I was putting it on my grits. And I was like, so, salt. And then I like shake the salt and then be like, and pepper. And then put some pepper on it like that. Like, yes. Salt and pepper's here. And then Layla was like, where is that from? And then Karen was like, we could play it for you when you get in the car. I said, Karen, that doesn't make any sense. Do you know what song that is from? She was like, yeah. I mean, what's wrong with that song? I was like, do you know what song? And she was like, yeah, Push It. What's wrong with that? I was like, do you know what Push It is about? You can't plan it for a 10-year-old.
And then I thought about it. I was like, oh, my bad.
This is why I'm in charge.
Right. That's why you in charge. Because that was the very first song that I ever danced to. And I danced to it at 9 years old. So I didn't think nothing twice about it.
Well,
I was like, they ain't cussing.
Thank God I was in charge. Karen would have took us to see fucking... The Purge or something.
We'll
end up losing custody of Layla.
I know not to do that.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
but yeah, I'm not in charge.
Sure you
know.
Do, buddy. Sure
I'm
do.
Not in charge.
So yeah, I played some kids bop. And
Pippi time I need kids. No, I don't.
Them little white kids was jamming. I don't know what Karen was talking about. I enjoyed their renditions of these songs. Make sure you spell kids bop with a Z.
Yes, with the C now.
Kids bop kids.
Play that Drake version we were playing.
Hotline Bling? I mean, yeah. It's pretty much the same song. I don't know what's wrong with it.
You used to call me on my... You used to. Yeah. You used to call me on my cell phone. Anytime you need to talk. Ever since I left the city, you got a situation for yourself now. Everybody knows and I feel left out. Girl.
So what's so bad about that? No, I didn't have a problem
with
it.
That's just as clean.
Mm-mm. I mean, but that's what the kids gotta listen to. I mean, that's we can't just true. Throw on some damn, I mean, well, she didn't mind the jazz. Songs. She didn't mind the jazz, so I played jazz, but I mean, that's what it is, man. Can't be just throwing on cuss words in front of little kids, man.
Glad I'm an adult.
And half the time, the subject matter ain't appropriate either. So
no.
You gotta hope they change the subject matter because, you know, even if you get the clean version of some of these songs, right. It's still a dirty ass, it, you know.
Right.
It is what it is, man. So anyway, we had fun,
had a blast with her,
and she enjoyed doing the podcast, and she wants to be like the official kids correspondent of all of our kids movies. So we'll try to get her in here and review kids movies with us, man. I think you guys will enjoy the, well, at least the premium folks, for everybody else won't get to hear it.
Yeah, but she was cracking jokes and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's so funny, man. We just had such a good time. So I told her, I said, you're gonna be a teenager soon, and she said, oh, I don't want to be a teenager. I said, well, you really don't have a choice, we all had to go through it. Mm-hmm. I said, so soon you're just gonna be, you know, have you just gonna not hate, you just not, you gonna hate everything, and you just gonna be annoyed by everybody. And she said, I'm already like that.
Yo, she's bad.
So Layla. Anyway, man, we had a great time. So
we had a great time. She even picked the restaurant.
Yeah,
it was really good.
Terrace. Then we went to Big Lots. She put us on to some aqua, what was it, aqua something, aloe vera juice.
Aloe vera juice. And
I haven't tried it yet, but she put us on.
My grandma said she drinks the hell out of it.
Yeah, she loved the aloe vera juice. So we did that, and
they had a good sale on K-Cups.
Right. So she said, well, the Terrace is kind of expensive, Uncle Roger. I was like, I'm rich, baby. We got this.
Oh, we got you covered.
And then when we got the check, I was like, all right, now look, I'm going to run out first. Then y'all run behind me on the count of three. And she said, one, two. I said, hold on, I was just joking. I got money.
I was like, well, I guess I'll be paying for the bill because I ain't going to jail for you.
I said, new plan. You going to do some dishes. Then I'm going to get out of here. But it was awesome, man. Love her. And it's also just like I said, man, sometimes you just need like a recharge. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? With all this shit going on, you just need a recharge sometimes, like just to be reminded the world don't have to always be shit.
No, it doesn't. Sometimes you literally have to take a break.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell you one thing, what was lit was the red velvet waffle that you had. That thing was delicious.
Yeah, I had a red velvet waffle that had like, even had like the frosting from the red. And of course, you know, everybody, I let everybody have some because I'm a giving person like that, and they all enjoyed that waffle. It was so good. And Layla had some pancakes that were shaped like dogs or cows. We could never figure out.
We made that joke. We think pot pie made it.
Hot pie. But
from Game of Thrones. I've been calling it pot pie all goddamn day. Arya's little butter to kill. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Shit, I might as well call it hot pocket then.
Mm-hmm. at any rate, we was having a good time.
Yeah, we was. We even asked the dude what it was. I said, and I was like, is it a goat? Is it a cow? Is it a horse? He said, I don't know. I said, well, man, I ain't expect us to know what the hell it is.
We decided on the term, I believe it was cogs. Me and Layla couldn't decide if it was gonna be dows or cogs, and cogs is what we decided those little pancakes were. But yeah, man, it was a great time, man.
Yes, we had a ball with her.
So also another good news, apparently, you know, with our black ass Blackity Black podcast we did yesterday with Ray Sonny and Alex English.
We did say that was one of the blackest shows we ever had.
I mean, I didn't even really talk about like just stories. It was mostly just all black shit. Mm-hmm. And then right into guest the race. Like it's just black. Like just a long black ass hour and a half of this podcast. Well, we got listed in, I guess, The Guardian. They do a weekly like, what podcast should you be listening to, mm-hmm, type thing. Listen to this is the podcast for the week. And we just yesterday we already got listed as one of the podcasts you should listen to for this week on theguardian.com, which is pretty awesome, man. I really appreciate it looks like Melissa Locker wrote this. I appreciate Melissa Locker taking the time to either, you know, whether she got a recommendation, whether she listened to herself, however it found its way to Melissa. I appreciate her taking the time to write about us. One of the things I think could really help black media spaces in general is for people that do have publications that can write about us, that can do some outreach, mm-hmm, for people that, because a lot of people sit back and go, I wish I could help, and they think money and they think time and they think all the stuff. And sometimes one of the ways people can help is like, hey, you're already writing at The Root, you're already writing at The Garden, you already got a job at Ebony, you like write about people that you listen to. It might not even be us, but because I mean this sincerely, and I mean it every single time these lists come up, I'm always happy to see black podcasts getting shine, period, even when it's not us, because
right,
it means something. And the way that we move through this universe of black podcasting, even if you like somebody else, you'll hear about us eventually, because you know what I mean, like there's only so many shows. We do good work, we have a good reputation with pretty much everybody, we try to keep from all that BS, you know, we try to just keep it positive, and eventually it'll trickle down to everybody and everyone else, or trickle over, however you want to put it. But
yeah,
the point being, thank you for writing about us, because
it means a lot.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of shows, you know, like I'm sure Adam Carolla has 20,000 articles on him every week. Mm-hmm. Same thing with NPR's podcast and all that stuff, right. And there's no shade to them, because they deserve those things, because those shows are excellent. But
right,
you know, we definitely appreciate it, you know, we definitely will send our fans your way and all that stuff. Anyway, she says, while most of the podcast community is still working on their analysis of tragedies in Baton Rouge, Minnesota, and Dallas, with dedicated episodes coming this week, a few already have tackled the topic. NPR's Code Switch released an aptly named special episode called No Words. The Blackout Tips team were joined by Loudmouth Comedy's Alex English and Ray Sani for a long conversation on Dallas protests and social media shade. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what it was. KCRW's Left, Right, and Center, NPR's politics podcast, featured the story. MTV's The Stake spoke to people on the ground in both Minnesota and Louisiana, and the Bodega Boys tackle police shooting, racism, and Donald Trump with their trademark savvy brashness. So yeah, thank you for writing about us, and thank you for listening to us, man.
Mm-hmm.
And we put it on Facebook and all that stuff, and Twitter. It's just, like I said, it's dope to be mentioned, because like I said with Trevor Noah and stuff, if those things don't get, like, I don't think that necessarily white folks in general are interested in these things.
Mm-mm.
But if they don't even get in front of them, they're never gonna talk about it
ever.
So that's, you know, I appreciate them taking out the time. Another thing, you know, just speaking on this, kind of like, we might as well talk more about the Dallas stuff now, it's just me and you two. One of the things that's been interesting about the last week or so in our Facebook group and in Facebook in general, the amount of black people I'm seeing who are just having such negative experience with white people and having to explain it, or come to the group as refuge almost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look what this person said. Like, that's probably the number one kind of post that I'm seeing in our Facebook group right now, is people being my coworker said this, my friend on my page said this,
mm-hmm,
here's some screenshots, here's what I said back. And I'm assuming it's like a unifying experience, because a lot of people are going through the same thing. I think because I run my page with an iron fist for the most part, and I get people up out of there,
right, I filter that out,
I haven't really experienced it to the same degree as other people yet,
right.
And hopefully I won't, to be quite honest.
Same here.
You know, people know where I stand at this point. Is, you know, enter at your own risk, as far as I'm concerned. But I've been noticing that too. Have you been seeing that?
Yeah, like I said, I personally haven't been, like I said, experiencing it. Because, like I say, I haven't really went through, like, my friends list. But most of them either keep quiet, or either they're on an agreeance. Like, mm-hmm, I really haven't had people just come in there and just wow out, you know. And I think a lot of it has to do with how I post in Facebook, too.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're constantly posting things, people are going to come. Like, I've seen a lot of, particularly, I can't speak for every other group, but particularly black women coming out and saying that they're tired of people telling them to shut up. They're tired of people coming at them with All Lives Matter. They're tired of having to explain. They're tired of clapping back. Like a lot of people are just very, 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 very tired. They just want to post shit and just let it be. But you always got to have that, but what about, and well, and, you know, just arguing with them from all types of people. You have white folks arguing with them, and then you have niggas arguing with them too. So for particularly black women, it's like a two-edged sword when it comes to the people that's constantly attacking them. And I think a lot of women are very tired, they're very upset. You know, women that have businesses, and you know, people telling them, hey, you know, you might affect your money. It was like, bitch, I don't care nothing about that. I'm gonna talk about this, and you gonna listen today.
Yeah, like I think what I'm experiencing is like seeing just a lot of people who are still having to deal with this shit in their face every day, whether it's coworkers, people they think of as friends,
right?
And to a large part, you know, I'm so over explaining myself, especially to folks that just don't care to get it,
right?
You know, I constantly see people that honestly there's no excuse at this point. Mm-mm. They don't want to understand.
Right.
You know, like, and it sucks to see people in pain and kind of unfocused because they're being fucked with all the time. And,
right.
You know, I've been able to kind of sit back a bit and witness it from afar, mm-hmm. because of all the groundwork I've laid, being like, get the fuck off my page. I'm not entertaining this. I'm not entertaining that. So, you know, and obviously I'm sure I have a reputation for being like, hey, I don't play that shit. But it's been interesting. You know, I've seen people talk about, and I've also filtered my Facebook really well. On my front page, I don't have it where I can just see anybody's post. I don't want to see everybody's post.
True.
there's certain people I fuck with a lot and, I'm like, oh, cool. Netta said something. Not only am I probably going to agree with it, but it's probably going to be, you know, something I want to share, retweet, or like.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I filtered hard too. I'm friends with people, but I mute you where I don't see any of your posts. Like, and I don't have any problem doing that because the thing is, this is my motherfucking timeline and I dictate and control what I see and what I don't see on my timeline.
Yeah. And then they also like, well, get caught arguing at other people's pages, which is something I haven't done. It isn't a policy of mine is I try to stay off of other people's pages. Mm-hmm. I'll just rather unfriend you than even really argue with you, to be quite honest.
Sir.
Like, unless you mean something to me, I don't even see a point in presenting a counterpoint because mm-hmm. I'm not here to be your educator and I'm not here to help you become a better person. I'm not a magical Negro. If I catch you saying some racist shit, we just not cool. And I'm completely fine with us not being friends. You know, like, you know, all the people that don't say things when cops are killing us, but can't wait to speak up about this, this dude who shot those police. Like, when I see that, I just go, oh, okay, cool. We're not friends. And I'm fine with that being a thing, you know? And it's, you know, I think people for the most part don't notice that because they're so used to arguing on social media. Mm-hmm. They'll come on my page to argue and I have to be like, have I ever been on your page? Think about it. Have I ever come on your page and started some shit? You know how I feel about things. How come I don't wait till you post something and come in and say, hey, I don't like this. I don't agree with it. Cause for the most part, I recognize that it's your space. Mm-hmm. And if that's the intolerance or whatever the fuck, the disagreement that we would have, if I can't find a way to talk about it respectfully with you, I'm not going to even discuss it. And if it's just a matter of opinion and you're clearly not gonna change your opinion, I'm good with that. I'm just ready. We don't have to be friends, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing about, social media. We cannot follow each other online and be cool in real life. People take this shit way, in my opinion, way too seriously. Like, we cool, but the shit you talk about, I don't always want to see that. Sometimes what you say ain't that motherfucking important to me, and I don't care about it. And it's nothing personal towards you.
Because I'm sure they're like that with things that are important to me.
Right, and it's the shit that I post and things that I say. And also, something that I've seen on my timeline, too, is that some white people that I follow are very angry, too. But they're angry because they are telling their other white friends, I've seen this several times, hey, if I say Black Lives Matter, please don't come in here with no All Lives Matter. I've seen several posts from white people that I follow telling people, hey, I'll unfriend you. We're not going to be cool if you keep fucking with my black friends and people that I care about, deeply in my life, because you don't want to get it and you don't understand. Like, I've also seen, that going up and down my timeline too from a lot of white people getting really, really fed up that actually care.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's, I mean, and like I said, it just seems like to me people are being fucked with, because who doesn't understand what Black Lives Matter means at this point?
Yeah, if you don't understand now, you're just willfully not understanding.
It's been 2 years.
And also is in, I guess in my opinion, and I've said this on the show before and I will continue to say this, if you want somebody to educate you, go to the academic people. That's their fucking job. Now, that's their job. It's not my job. I don't have the time to sit and go through the nuances with you when actually you don't give a fuck about nothing that is coming out of my mouth. A lot of those people who want to argue with you don't care. You can explain till you pass out, and everything you say is a constant counter argument because you didn't come to listen, you didn't come to learn, you really don't give a fuck about what's coming out of my mouth. Well, then why are we talking? Get the fuck out my face.
Right. And the thing is, like, a lot of people still find ways to take their time out to try to educate these people.
Yeah. And kudos
and
to you.
Do this labor for these people.
Not me.
And it's, you know, the thing that I'm noticing is it's just a tremendous amount of work and pain for nothing.
Right.
Because I don't see people being educated. I don't see people changing, from these interactions. And they seem to want to come in to purposely fuck with these people. It doesn't seem to be an actual misunderstanding at all. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe you can take it and then they will somehow, you know, change eventually, but what is the cost of time and effort for that person to see the light, you know, and whose expense does that come at? So it's just, you know, it's just something I've noticed. And it's something that, you know, currently I'm just not interested in doing at all. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, I might just not be the one to ever have been involved in that. That's one of the reasons I'm not considering my self academic. It's one of the reasons I don't consider my Twitter page educational. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons I don't sit around trying to explain shit to people all the time. When they ask me questions and shit, I'm not your teacher and I'm not working for you for free. I have my opinion and that's it. So at any rate, there's still things happening, so I do want to talk about them now. So I guess, where would we start? What is the best place to start? How about, Black Lives Matter had some marches and they shut down a bridge between Memphis and Arkansas. And I keep saying, you know, it's my mistake because I keep reading these fucking headlines.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's Black Lives Matter. Mm-mm. I don't know that. I just know that it was black protesters.
Right.
I really have to do, I'm really trying to get that out of my vocabulary.
Cause they put that up there regardless of who doing it, because what fucking frustrate me about DeRay, they constantly said, and I heard it on NPR and every media outlet, Black Lives Matter leader. I was like, he's not a fucking Black Lives Matter leader.
Well, and the thing is, the people that get upset by that don't care that it's not him actively mislabeling himself. It doesn't matter if he corrects himself. And it's not just him, by the way.
Right.
Which is one of the things that's really been unfair about people targeting him. But it's not just him. All these movements get called Black Lives Matter. It doesn't matter mm-hmm. where it's at.
Mm-mm.
If it's the fact that they're talking about equality for black people, immediately is Black Lives Matter. They could be talking to fucking me and somebody it wouldn't take long for someone post a, yeah, this is Rod from Black Lives Matter, because that's what they think, all niggas are the same and we all unite under one banner, which is Black Lives Matter. People don't even care to educate themselves that there's not, you know, that there's are differences between people in different movements, you know.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, they shut down Interstate 40 Sunday evening to advocate for lives taken by police in the last week. These are like my favorite protests, to be honest. And who knows, one of these days I might get caught up in one and won't be able to make it to where the fuck I'm going on time.
You know what, I all jokes aside, I didn't write it online, but I almost made a joke. I was like, hey, come closer near me so I can call in and not go to work today and actually have an opportunity to join. So because, you know, because then I have an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to park my car and actually join in on the march,
because right.
You know, now I have to go to work because ain't nothing instructing my, you know, my flow to work. But hey, y'all bring it on to him. I be like, I ain't coming that click, and I would get out there and walk too.
Right. And so, you know, I know it's gotta suck to be stuck in that traffic and stuff, but you know,
yeah, because I ain't going nowhere, might as well park.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, for other people, not everybody's gonna join like you.
That's true.
But it's gotta suck to be stuck in that traffic. And a lot of people don't see the point of these actions.
Makes them mad.
Yeah, a lot of people get mad because, hey, my privilege is being inconvenienced. Why can't I do what I want to do? And to them, all I have to say is like, yo, it's not as inconvenient as the possibility of dying every time I leave my fucking door. And it's never gonna ever compare. And I will never feel sorry about it, because the point that's being made is one of life and death on the other end. And yours is one of, I didn't make it to brunch on time. And it's just gonna be inconvenient for you. Get your ass up and help us do something. You know what I mean? Like, you're get off your ass and go to the polls. Instead of being mad at the protest, well, there's one way to help the protest end. You know what I mean? There's a way. You know, these people are also out here galvanizing the vote. They're also getting initiatives put on ballots. They're also getting pressure put on politicians. Yeah, find out, and so that your drive won't be interrupted, if you give a fuck that much.
But you don't.
And that's why they keep doing it, because you don't care. But yeah, it's a protest. It's not gonna be convenient.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Do people not understand the concept of a fucking protest? You don't schedule a protest.
Right. You know? But it's just because it's something that doesn't affect people, so that it's easy for them to kind of be like, I don't want to see this shit. It's like, yeah, of course you don't want to see it. You know, nobody wants to see it when it's not, when it's a problem they don't consider their problem. Nobody wants to see it. But it's not a black problem, it's an American problem, and everybody has to participate. And when it comes to racism, it's a white problem. You know,
right? So don't ask me to fix the shit. People go, how you fix it? It's not up to me to fix it.
But you know what though, the reality of the situation is, though, it is that black people have to come up with the tactics to force a solution. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, because white people and people of privilege and people in control will not take the responsibility upon themselves to fix it, that's why these protests happen. You see what I'm saying? It, like, they have turned it into labor for the people who are being oppressed. And then they get mad because these are the tactics of the oppressed. We don't have the, you know, it's not as simple as, let's just go vote. It's not as that simple, because when you're 13% of the population, you don't necessarily run the entire fucking, political process, you know? So part of it is putting pressure on the people in power too. And also that means that while people are in power, I'm not going to wait till November. You do something now. You know what I'm saying? Like, now you can't get to work. Now what, mayor? Like, do something about it now. That's why people do these things. And it's an urgency thing.
And I understand that. And the purpose behind that, I understand that too. But racism is not up to me to fix. I can do these things to force you to change the policies, to force people to see things. I can do these things to force things to change. But the root of the problem is not up to me to fix.
Yeah, I'm not saying it is, and I don't think it is, but yeah, I definitely feel like the reality of the situation, like, cause I think people are talking about fairness and they're talking about what's right and what's wrong, but the reality of the situation is not where, it's not meeting you there.
That's true.
Like, yeah, it's not right that it's up to protesters, and not all black protesters. I mean, there are different people coming together, which is another reason these movements are working. Because all around the United States,
and even around
people
the world,
are organizing. Like, a black person dies and it is felt now. Something that was not a reality a few years ago. Before it was felt by our community and felt by people that knew that person, but it wasn't felt like it is now nationally. This is progress. It is hard. It is the work of generations. It is not going to change overnight, but you can push it to a breaking point. And to me, that's what they're doing, you know, and all the people second guessing and telling them what to do and how to do it, for the most part, just don't want to be inconvenienced. And that's all they care about. They just want to stick to their personal issues. And to me, that's the thing that keeps the anger going. Mm-hmm. And it keeps people motivated to keep fucking your brunch up and keep fucking up your drive to work and to keep protesting.
Keep holding your trains up.
Yeah. Like, this is the thing that keeps it going, is your anger towards the wrong people, because you don't want to join in and be like, oh, okay, let's get this to change. You know, like, you have places like joincampaignzero.org, where they have like things illustrated for you. You have you know, Black Lives Matter has their websites. You have so many different people that have not just solutions but planned actions and shit, and then people sit around and go, but I don't know what they want, you know. It's like, no, yeah. you don't want to know.
Yeah, shit like that.
You just want to make it to brunch on time.
Yeah, shit like that pisses me off. And just when you say shit like that, just, and if you say, well, you just don't care, you're going to give me every excuse why you do care. No, you don't care. Just admit you don't care. You don't give a shit about anything that does not directly affect you.
Yeah. And like I said, when you see these people coming on Facebook talking about, but all lives matter and shit like that, that's all they're saying. They don't care.
Right.
They're the same people that go, why don't you do this tactic instead? Because the other tactic doesn't inconvenience you.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean? Because the other thing is, it's not either or. There are people that are out registering people to vote. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people that are out meeting with the president. There are initiatives that have been put into place because of Black Lives Matter. There are campaign questions that have been asked strictly because, you know, black protesters have stood up and made people say things. So, you know, it matters. In Baton Rouge, cops barged into a woman's private property to arrest a black protesters that she invited into her house.
Why?
I mean, all the arrests, it seems, for the most part, have been constitutionally illegal. But
right.
But they just don't care. And it's on camera and everything. They just don't care.
Right, and they don't care because they're not goddamn held fucking accountable. If this woman said, y'all can come into my house, why are y'all busting her door down?
Yep. You know, and the thing is, like, who polices the police?
Right.
What is the consequence for doing this? That's what I want to know. Like, what happens to a police officer when they do something like this, to a police force, when they do something illegal? Because it doesn't feel right when the Department of Justice comes by and 6 months later we get some of the arrests made in Ferguson were illegal. You know, meanwhile, people have had to go back and forth to court. People may have warrants out on them. People have paid. Go ahead.
They can have to get that stuff cleared if they ever get it cleared.
Yeah, people have paid bail money. You know, like, one of the things that and I think Netta highlighted this, but you know, people were, and one of the reasons it's good that somebody like DeRay went down there and got arrested is because of visibility, and his story ends up being hundreds of people's story. And when they arrest 100-something people, we follow the close details of DeRay, but other people are still in jail, other people are going through the same things. These things matter, right? So it's an example of what everybody went through, basically. Like, oh, they put DeRay in an orange jumpsuit. Well, guess what? That means they put everybody in an orange jumpsuit to take their pictures. Oh, they arrested DeRay illegally. Well, guess what? That means they arrested probably everybody illegally down there. You know, they held him for 20 hours. That means they held some people longer than 20 hours. Like that is a thing that visibility can contribute to these type of campaigns. But once you realize that they're so brazen and they're so like, we're gonna do something illegal, fuck it, this is our tactic, we came down here to arrest people and we don't care if they break the law or not, they're going to jail, it doesn't feel right that the Department of Justice has to look into this and then in 3 months we might hear something, you know, that results in nothing. No turnover, no change, maybe some money exchanging hands, but how much money did they bring in? You know, when you find out, oh, it costs this much for a phone call from jail that you have to put on some type of calling card. Okay, well, now here's that's money going back into this system that is basically a tax on black people and poor people. When you're finding out that, you know, bail is a certain amount of money and people have to raise money for bail online, all that money goes where? You know what I mean? Into the hands of the people that did the unfair arrest in the first place. They are rewarded for this bullshit, man. So, you know, I don't know how you necessarily can defeat this system in any easy way, but nobody said it would be easy. You know, it's just, but it's telling how much money is caught up in this shit, even when you're trying to fight it. They have rigged it so they make money off of the illegal arrest, such as going to somebody's house and on your private property and telling protesters to disperse and then arresting them. She said they came into her house she hosted the protest. They said they needed the protesters needed to disperse. Once some of the protesters left her party, and moved onto the sidewalks, officers arrested them because they were allegedly going to block the nearby interstate highway. So
that could have been going home. That could have been going anywhere.
Yep. They were peacefully protesting on her property for around 90 minutes when officers in riot gear started moving in. At this point, protesters started yelling at the officers that they were trespassing on private property. The police justified their aggressive behavior by claiming the protesters had been planning to march down to the highway to form a blockade. The police decided to preempt the action by blocking out the interstate ramp themselves. Well, that, okay.
So you end up blocking it, right?
Right.
You blocked it.
Oh, shit.
So either way, them people, whoever was going, moving somewhere today, they weren't going nowhere.
Right. But hey, we did it ourselves, so you can't. The man who posted the video of Alton Sterling being shot, he got arrested.
That sounds right. And what kills me is when people say, when people put these videos up online, I would continue to say this. It's to the point now where if you put a video up and people find out your identity, you're at risk too. A lot of times, who you are is scrutinized. What you do is scrutinized. The police all of a sudden have an eye on you, and all you was doing was trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, same thing happened with the guy who shot the Eric Garner footage. Mm-hmm. He got arrested. He went to jail the other day. I forget how many years he's doing, but he's going to do at least a couple years in like Rikers.
Because they just constantly follow you around until they can get you for something.
Yep. Apparently, he said on Facebook, just made it to my job on base and I'm being detained. They said I fit the description of someone and won't tell me anything else. If anything happens, I did not resist. Please be aware. Then later, he said they totally overlooked the fact I was arrested for fitting a description, and you have an assault and battery charge in Dunwoody, Georgia. That's what they said, which by the way I've never committed or even heard of, and go straight to, well, you should have paid those traffic tickets. Really? Laugh my ass off. Really? LOL. Wow. Yeah, traffic tickets will get you 25 to life, I guess. So
just making shit up.
So he spent the night in jail. And he was released after paying $1,231 in fines.
Goddamn!
Though he admits that he didn't pay the tickets because he couldn't afford to, and he has a suspended license, and that's why he uses Uber frequently to commute to work. Although he believes that the charges were levied against him that were minuscule, Lede feels that the entire ordeal was retribution for posting the video of the Sterling shooting. Mm-hmm. So
to scare him.
Yep, reminds me of Ramsey Orta, who filmed Eric Garner and then got arrested in 2014. So more
that's
shit changes.
So basically they want to make it so, hey, we don't give a fuck if you record us, but if we find out who you are, we're gonna fuck with your life.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna make it inconvenient when you can't work.
Yep.
You can't do nothing.
That's what they do.
But you don't want to lose your job though for not doing what the fuck you're supposed to do.
The dude that shot those police, he was actually rejected by some and blacklisted by black power groups as unstable. This is in the Daily Beast. So, couldn't join a black power group, but could buy a gun.
Right.
He sought to join a black militant group 2 years before he targeted white police officers for death, but he was turned away after a background check. After being sent home from Afghanistan for stealing women's underwear, Johnson was discharged from the Army in late 2014, summer 2014, just as deaths of Michael Brown and Eric Garner were energizing the nascent Black Lives Matter movement. While his Army identity shattered, with his Army identity shattered, as his mother told The Blaze, Johnson then sought a new one in the Black Power movement by joining one of several groups that believed in armed resistance against white society, especially police. Before he could join, though, a tipster asked a man in Dallas, in the Dallas area movement, to screen Johnson for involvement in black activist groups. And that's when they looked into his past, and they found out he was discharged for sexual harassment, and they deemed him unfit for recruitment. So they said, once you're blacklisted by the alert that we put out, that's a wrap. So you basically can't join any group. though shunned from groups like the Black People's New Black Panther Party and the Black Riders Liberation Party, Johnson continued attending protests and events in the area, according to multiple people within the Dallas activist community. Online, Johnson was loosely affiliated with the African American Defense League, the Black Riders Liberation, the Huey P. Newton Gun Club, and South Dallas Muhammad Mosque No. 48, which is run by acolytes of Louis Farrakhan Nation of Islam. Both the Houston and Dallas chapters of the People's New Black Panther Party said unequivocally that Johnson has never been a member of the group.
Right. He just be showing up shit.
Mm-hmm. One of the groups he followed on Facebook issued a call to arms over Sterling and Castile's death just hours before he attacked. It's owned in 2016. Black Riders leader Lakeisha Washington posted on Facebook Thursday afternoon, "Rest in peace to Alta Sterling in L.A. and Philando Castile in Minnesota." Washington continued with language that could have come from Johnson's lips, according to Dallas police, who say he told them he was avenging black men's deaths at the hands of cops and he wanted to kill white officers. "We assert the right of self-defense by whatever means necessary and reserve the right of maximum retaliation against our racist oppressors, so no matter what the odds against us are," she wrote. "From here on in, if we must die anyway, we will die fighting and we will not die alone. We intend to see that our racist oppressors also get a taste of death." The very same Black Riders post answers the cryptic message Johnson wrote in his blood just before he was killed by a police robot. RB was scrawled on a wall inside the building where Johnson was holed up. According to Dallas Police Chief David Brown, it is likely that he was writing RBG, a favorite acronym for the Black Riders, which stands for Red, Black, and Green, the colors of the Pan-African flag. Oh, to the east, my brother, to the east. Brown was asked about the Daily Beast reporting during a Monday press conference and would not say whether the police believe Johnson was attempting to write RBG before he died. So I don't know,
nobody,
man,
nobody can answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did.
Yep, because they blew him up with a robot.
Mm-hmm. Versus capturing him and asking him these questions personally.
Mm-hmm. Also, a Kansas cop got fired for sickening online random attack against a black woman's child in the aftermath of the Dallas shootings. He's a white dude in Kansas. He's a police officer. And he threatened a random black woman's young daughter on Facebook amidst racial tensions between police and civilians. And he got fired. Rodney Lee Wilson, who had been an officer with Overland Park Police Department for more than a year, lashed out at LaNadra Williams online, despite no obvious connection between the two. Oh, Rodney Wilson. I think I said Williams. Anyway, having found pictures of Williams' 5-year-old daughter, India, visible on her Facebook profile, he launched an astonishing rant that appeared to threaten the girl's life. He put, "We'll see how much her life matters soon. Better be careful leaving your info open where she can be found, smiley face. Hold her close tonight. It'll be the last time."
And he thought that was okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Williams said she could not sleep following the sinister post, which comes after Alton Sterling and Philando Castile was shot dead by cops in the shooting of 5 officers in Dallas on Thursday. She told WDAF, "It's not okay, not my child. She's all I have. India is my heart. That's not right. We're already on age, so why would you do that?" Williams added that she has never been to Overland Park, has no connection to Kansas, and has no idea how Wilson found her Facebook page. She also claims that after contacting Williams' superiors, she was initially told that his account had been hacked, despite the post being deleted. However, police later backtracked, confessed that Wilson had been behind the message and dismissed him from duty.
Right. Right. And the thing is, he should never be able to be an officer ever fucking again. No, you can't be an officer nowhere.
She added, "I felt horrified because I don't know these people. And then when I click on the guy, on the guy's Rodney Lee's picture, I see he's a cop. For this guy to come out of nowhere just being disrespectful, how can you be an officer? It's unacceptable for anyone, but especially for a police officer."
Right. And then you wonder why people say, "We don't believe you."
Right.
And they initially lied. Mm-hmm. But the only reason why they came back and told the truth is because they know with social media and all this shit, if you lie about it, it's gonna come out. You can't cover the shit up no more and be like, oh, okay, not no more, you can't.
Right. So, I don't see the police department admitting that they lied.
Right.
I see them saying it does. His actions don't represent the police department, but when the police department is lying, you know, even if you would have told them I was hacked, you confirm that. You say, hey, we're looking into it. Because you don't really know. Let's see what else. Governor Pat McCrory of our state.
Fuck him.
He has signed a bill that keeps police camera footage secret.
Fuck that nigga. He get on my motherfucking nerves. I cannot wait to vote his ass out.
Mm-hmm. It allows law enforcement agencies to keep officer-worn body camera footage from the public unless ordered to release the footage by a court. Body cameras should be a tool to make law enforcement more transparent and accountable to the communities they serve, but this shameful law will make it nearly impossible to achieve those goals, said Susanna Birdsong, policy counsel for the ACLU of North Carolina. People who are filmed by police body cameras should not have to spend time and money to go to court in order to see that footage.
Right!
These barriers are significant, and we expect them to drastically reduce any potential this technology had to make law enforcement more accountable to community members. Yeah, this is why Obama can't do it by himself, and this is why Bernie couldn't have done it by himself.
Mm-mm.
Nobody can do it by themselves. You need a coalition of people. You need to be able to galvanize the existing people in your party to help take back some of these states and to get some of these people out of office.
Right.
You can't just ride the wave of one man thinking he can just write anything into law.
Right. And all people are just paying him. He just doing shit. They paying him a lot of fucking money to do this. I don't even think he goddamn cares.
Yeah. Right. Police want us to trust them, but you can't even trust the police. You know?
Come on, dog. And then what's so fucked up about it is that, particularly with the LGBTQ law today passed, like you said before, a lot of people go, well, them stupid voters in North Carolina, and every time somebody say that, it takes everything in me, but like, bitch, we didn't vote on it and it wasn't up for it. They did this shit undercover and didn't tell nobody. Vote on that.
Yeah, let me create a new session real quick, because we right up on the 90 minute break. Mm-hmm. Thing. Give me 1 second and I'll have it.
Yeah, they get on my nerves with that.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly him.
Yep. Let me call the audience in. Prepare to go live. And I'll add you back when I see you in here.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay. Going live. Yes. And let me, look in here and get you back on the screen. Okay. I'm inviting you on the screen. Yes. All right. So, but yeah, this is why one man can't do it, you know, because essentially every state that doesn't want to go along with shit just revolts. They just do what the fuck they want.
Right. And,
you know, the same way they did with the bathroom laws, and now they're doing it with this. So under the new law, body camera and dash camera footage are not public record. Law enforcement agencies have the discretion to release footage to people who are recorded, but if the agency denies a request to disclose the footage, the recorded individual must bring a claim in court to attempt to obtain the footage. There is no mechanism for law enforcement to release the videos of public interest to the general public other than through a court order. And they already have like similar stuff where even when you have a Freedom of Information Act, the police can charge you for the footage anyway.
And they charge you a fucking ridiculous ass price that I know most people aren't willing to pay.
Exactly. So it's already so many barriers to this. None of the shit is the way it's supposed to be set up to be or the way that it looks. Chris Brown and Drake weighed in on the war against black people in America. You know, Chris Brown of course is a well-known criminal, and Drake is a well-known Canadian, so
they got the right too, huh? So yeah, they got the right too.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even know what they said. You already was signing and stuff.
Okay, I'm listening.
Chris Brown says, "I'm tired. We are tired.
Man, something gotta give, bro. It just has to. Shit is fucking annoying and it's disrespectful. Man, we getting killed every day. Fuck this celebrity shit. Fuck the jury. Fuck me being on stage. Fuck me trying to, you know, get y'all to buy albums. I don't give a fuck about that shit. Us as a people, fuck just a black people. Fuck just a community. I'm talking about a whole, man. Everybody. This shit needs to stop, bro. Motherfuckers want to take gun laws away and talking about guns. Y'all killing us. Y'all the motherfuckers killing us. If you ask for proper ID or whatever the fuck it is, if we show y'all whatever the fuck niggas ain't, come on, man. My nigga, I'm getting pissed off about this shit. Regardless of however the fuck you view me or anybody else, us as a people need to start coming together and making our voice heard. We don't gotta be violent or irate or fucking belligerent. We can be real, articulate humans and really get this shit together, my nigga. This shit is fucking horrible and it needs to fucking stop. Yo, man, something gotta give, bro.
Alright, so that was his statement. Mm-hmm. You didn't like it?
He's talking to me, he's talking to himself.
I don't know what you mean.
Because a lot of stuff he's saying, he actually need to apply to himself. So, what are we talking about here?
Alright. I think he was trying to help, but... You're right. He could be less belligerent. He could be less violent. That's
towards women now.
That, yeah, those women are great points.
This group that you quote unquote supposed to be standing up for.
Those are absolutely great points. I agree. I mean, when you're right, you're right. Well, Margo, I have no retort. I mean,
I have nothing wrong with him speaking out, but it's one of them things. I'm not trying to be funny, baby. You ain't got the track record to be talking.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Champagne Poppy on our Instagram, as Drake is known, says, I'm grateful to be able to call America my second home. Last night, when I saw the video of Alton Sterling being killed, it left me feeling disheartened, emotional, and truly scared. I woke up this morning with a strong need to say something. It's impossible to ignore that the relationship between black and brown communities and law enforcement remains as strained as it was decades ago. No one begins their life as a hashtag, yet the trend of being reduced to one continues. This is real, and I'm concerned. Concern for the safety of my family, my friends, and any human being that could fall victim to this pattern. I do not know the answer, but I believe things can change for the better. Open and honest dialogue is the first step. My thoughts and prayers are with the Sterling family and any family that has lost someone to this cycle of violence. Be safe out there. More life. What about that one?
I don't have a problem with his statement.
All right, there we go. So, appreciate y'all speaking up on the guys. No, we need that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because Drake might be from Canada, but when he crossed that border, he black.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so this shit I've been seeing on Facebook and Twitter, and especially Facebook, and I just want to be 100% clear about this. I have zero issues with this man, Tommy Norman. Seems like a good guy. Seems like a dude that gives back to his community. He's a police officer in North Little Rock, and he does community policing the way that I would like to see people police their communities, where you go in and you get to know people, you get out of your fucking car, you talk to these kids, you talk to these grown ass adults, so that when someone says a black male this tall wearing a red shirt, you don't think the suspect, you think, oh, that's Alton, what's going on with him? I would love for every fucking police officer to be this way. I do not have a problem with Tommy Norman. I'm not questioning his character. I'm not calling him anything negative. I'm not questioning his sincerity or his genuineness or his work. We need to get that out the way before I go in. Because I know that's what the first thing people want to distract with, and that is the exact opposite of what I'm saying. I have no issue with him as a person. I have no interest in interviewing him as a person or getting to know him as a person. These are not the things I want to talk about. Okay? So what this guy is you might know him as the community policing mascot, basically. Whenever, and this happens every time some niggas get shot, they pull this dude up to be like, look, black kids hug him. People in his community walk up to him and speak to him. He got a note. This is
sneak up on him.
This is him talking to some random black dude on a bike.
Where'd he go?
Where'd he
go?
And he's recording it.
Davey.
Now, I don't know what this exchange is supposed to prove.
Hold on, Davey.
So I guess he came by in his private vehicle. Mm-hmm. And talked to this dude. He had no idea it was the same police officer dude. I don't know what exactly they filming. Oh, he handed him a card that said, I love you.
Yeah, because it sounded like he might, something mentally might be wrong with him. Yeah. Or he has some form of a handicap.
Then it's him talking to kids that are eating food with him. Him having a plate with some black kids. You know, bringing some high seas and some waters to a athletic event for some black kids. Like, this is dope. I saw people being like, I'm not questioning this man on a personal level. He is a role model.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say, you know, these black kids need a positive white role model they can look up to in police uniform. That's not the kind of role model I'm talking about. He should be a role model to police.
Right.
If kids look up to him as well, that's cool. You know, hopefully they don't run into some other cop thinking they all like Tommy. Cause we know for a fact that systemically and institutionally they are not. And it's going to be very dangerous with that attitude towards a lot of these cops. But, he doesn't need to be a role model for these kids. These other officers need to be looking at him as a role model for what they should be doing, because he's treating the community like he's part of the community.
Right.
So, you know,
which is what people ask.
From what people, someone told me on my page, like, you know, he lives in this community. He's from there. So that's another reason he doesn't just walk around seeing all these people as just, you know, targets. Apparently, you know, he also works in, you know, like the homeless shelter and the food kitchen. Like, he's just one of those people. The problem is he's one of those people. He's the one. He's the same. He's the guy people tried out. And it's some weird cop version of All Lives Matter, in my opinion, because you're trying to silence the fact that people are talking about the discord. And what happens is people want to rush through to this peaceful process without doing any of the work.
Right.
Like, look, here's the good cop. Cool, but the true hero cop to me is the cop that's gonna sit on the stand and say, I saw a guy cover up a murder. I saw a guy falsify an arrest report.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a police officer, you know, shoot somebody in cold blood, and I'm breaking the blue wall of silence and I'm coming out and I'm saying something. That's a role model too. That's the role model I want to see, you know, because people are like, well, these kids need somebody to look up to. Look, if these kids want to go be police officers, then they're going to be indoctrinated into a evil, corrupt, hypocritical police force that targets and abuses black and brown kids, that will teach them to be prejudiced against their own in order to survive, that will teach them to co-opt a racism that is latent throughout the entire workforce, that will ostracize you if you do speak up, that will make you pay. You know, so many black officers will tell you about the racism they experience outside of uniform, but then they're expected to inflict that same racism when they get in a uniform.
Right.
And they never take the stand, or they never testify against anybody. They never do anything to stop this brutality. You know, when I saw Walter Scott get shot in the back, I also saw a black police officer come over there and lie and forge his report so that the other officer could stick to his lie, killing a man in cold blood. And that officer was black. You know, like, this isn't, about impugning one man. It's about the fact you can't throw one man in my face to distract me from what is a bigger institutional problem. And to even dare try to get into this argument about, or draw somebody into an argument about whether Officer Tommy is a good or bad person is exactly the problem, and why I don't want to see this dude on my page. It's why I don't want to see this shit get shared, because everybody would rather have a discussion about his personal credibility when it's not about his personal credibility. You know, like, as far as I'm concerned, he's probably a good dude. Mm-hmm. But if he saw somebody plant evidence, I don't know what he would do. And I don't want to, and him saying something doesn't make any difference to me until he's saying it in court. Until he's keeping some kid from going to jail because their life is ruined because someone planted a gun on him. You know, and if they treat him as an outsider in his own police force, then that also proves my point. So if he's not a leader in that for that house, if he's considered, oh, don't do anything with him, he's a goody two shoes, then that also just illustrates the point that the entire fucking corporation of policing is corrupt. So yeah, I it's cool that he's a good guy. Stop throwing this shit in my face and stop throwing it in black people's face. You found the one. The fact that you are highlighting the one illustrates it is a fucking bloodbath out there. You know what I mean? It illustrates that there's a problem, that you are elevating this one dude to such high standards, and it's hitting us in the face over and over and over and over. It's the same guy. This ain't the first go round for this. Every time some nigga gets killed in cold blood, or a couple in a row, they gotta come trap this dude back out here. Like, hey, remember when black kids hugged him? Yes. We also remember when Tamir Rice got killed. You know, I want justice, not hugs. You know what I mean? Like, justice is better than hugs. Sorry. I'd rather be alive and you be a dick than hug and now this kid's dead. So I need other officers to look up to him. And I also need to know that these officers are going to take that stand when the camera's not on, when the Instagram ain't being posted, and not just talking about eating with these kids, but I'm talking about when someone is targeting or harassing or racially biased towards these kids, they stand up and say, no, that's not going to happen. All right. Let's see what else happened. Oh, man, Chaka Khan going into rehab. For prescription drug addiction. She basically said Prince, his death inspired her to go get help.
I hate he had to die, but you know, one of those things where if it made her come to reality that I have a problem, because that's a thing, a lot of these people, especially people that perform, like, you know, because honestly, a lot of these people perform like athletes, like their bodies, you constantly doing things, constant repetitive motions. You might have a surgery or take it for one thing, and then it comes into something else, and it becomes just a way to function. Mm-hmm. And it's good that she recognized that it's a problem.
Yeah, so she
a lot of people don't, and end up dying.
She had to cancel her affair, I mean her affair, she had to cancel a state fair appearance. And it looks like Jody Watley and Shalimar Reloaded will perform in her place. And she canceled all her other appearances in July too.
So well, go get help, sweetie.
Good for her, man. That's a lot of courage to tell the world, I gotta go get help on this. I can't do it myself.
Because a lot of people just cancel shit, go undercover, go to rehab, and come back. They wouldn't be as open as
or even if they go to rehab. I mean, you know, Prince, it sounded like Prince almost died on a plane. You know what I mean? And was back performing a little bit later. So, who knows what people go through, really. You know, addiction is a horrible, shameful thing. Like, people shame you for it. They basically call you weak. They make you feel horrible about yourself, and you don't want to tell the world, because especially today's world with social media shit, everybody's just got you all the time. Like, I know the one thing that you are ashamed of, and that's all you are to me now, you know. And these people probably don't want to experience that, you know. At any rate, man, I'm glad she's getting help, man, because you don't want to see people go out like that, man. Like, drug addiction is some real shit. You know, there's all kinds of pitfalls people fall into, but you know, that, you know, nobody wanted to lose Prince that way. And I'm sure nobody wants to lose Chaka Khan that way.
No.
That's crazy that 2016 been that real that she was like, you know what? Folks, I might be next.
Bro, folks been dying. I might be on the list. Nope.
Yeah, 2016 is like final destination for black people. You know, for black celebrities. Like, you might want to do what you can to get away from this. Speaking of Final Destination, apparently 50 Cent is now out of bankruptcy. He reached a bankruptcy deal to settle his debts and immediately posed with a helicopter on Instagram in a suit. Mm-hmm. Yep. He turned 41 on Wednesday, but he's still petty. He apparently will pay $6 million to the woman he mocked in the sex tape and $17.5 million to investor Sleek Audio for his failed headphones venture. However, he seemed to thumb his nose at the legal agreement, posting photos on his Instagram of himself with a helicopter alongside one image writing, "Oh, now I remember where I put that money." This dude really ain't shit, man.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. And I will fight him motherfucking tooth and nail. I want every goddamn penny, cause fuck you.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, in the settlement, the rapper said he was putting forward $7.4 million to creditors immediately in cash. He said he would raise the rest of the money he owed by selling his Connecticut mansion that was once owned by boxer Mike Tyson. When he filed for bankruptcy protection, 50 Cent had told the court that his lavish lifestyle was all a show and that he even borrowed expensive jewelry that he returned after wearing it in public.
I don't believe you, sir. That money moved somewhere. I don't ever think this man was officially broke.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. I don't believe that. I don't ever think he was ever officially broke.
Fox News host Gretchen Carlson has filed a sexual harassment suit against CEO Roger Ailes, alleging that she was fired from the network after 11 years for refusing to sleep with him.
The same place who don't believe this shit exists, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, people that think that, you know, women are making it all up and shit.
Right, so why would they believe you? Because, you know, some of your female co-hosts, or you may even yourself have been on the air and bashed women for coming out and saying shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She's the popular host of The Real Story with Gretchen Carlson. She alleges that she was let go on June 23rd after 11 years with the network for refusing to sleep with Roger Ailes, who is Fox News' boss. Carlson writes in her court filing after a conversation she had with Ailes last September in which he allegedly said to her, "I think you and I should have had a sexual relationship a long time ago, and then you'd be good and better, and I'd be good and better." Tit for tat. The conversation allegedly came when Carlson went to speak with Ailes about what she believed were discriminatory practices at the network. She posted on Facebook Wednesday morning, "As you may have heard, I'm no longer working for Fox News. I value your support and friendship, especially now. So please stay in touch with me. I value your support and friendship, especially now." So wait, she wrote that twice? Oh, they copied that twice. Anyway.
And I remember her too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's had some fucked up shit over the years on that couch.
Yeah.
With the rest of them women.
That's Roger Ailes right there. He looked like Slimer from the Ghostbusters. And that's her. You know, they do have now it makes sense how they always hire the same type of woman.
Right.
Roger Ailes has a type. He's like,
mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
And
it's sad, but truth be told, who knows how many women actually may have slept with him or took him up on that deal?
Who knows?
I mean, because she ain't the first one he done approached with this.
Mm-hmm. Carlson claims that in her complaint that Ailes called her a man-hater and accused her of wanting to show up the boys when she complained about what she alleges was diminishing treatment and pervasive sexual harassment by her Fox and Friends co-host Steve Ducey. Ducey also created a hostile working.
That dude sent beside her?
Yep.
Yeah, that's that dude that they be on there. He be talking all sideways to the whole crew, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Ducey also created a hostile work environment by regularly treating her in a sexist and condescending way, including by putting his hand on her and pulling her down her arm to shush her during a live telecast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've talked about how he talked to them and treated all them.
Mm-hmm. These complaints about Ducey are why she was fired from the Marquee show in 2013 and placed as the host of her own afternoon show, claims Carlson in her complaint. Carlson 50 alleges that her compensation was decreased at this time as well by the network. The spot was, so she basically paid for speaking up.
Right.
Like, hey, he got to take his hands off of me and stop fucking shushing me in the middle of the conversation. And it was like, okay, we'll just give you your own show. And guess what? You don't make as much money now. So this is your punishment. The spot was open at the time because Ells had made a decision to move Megyn Kelly from that afternoon spot to the 9 p.m. hour following the network's highest rated program, The O'Reilly Factor. Elizabeth Hasselbeck was then brought to join Ducey and Brian Kilmeade on Fox and Friends. We believe that the evidence will confirm Gretchen was fired from Fox and Friends for speaking up about the demeaning and discriminatory behavior on and off set, said Nancy Erica Smith of Smith Mullen PC, who was representing Carlson. Carlson also included a list of comments she claims Ailes made to her in the workplace in her complaint. Ogling Carlson in his office and asking her to turn around so he could view her posterior, reads one grievance in the complaint. In another instance, Carlson alleges in her complaint that Ailes asked her how she felt about him before stating, "Do you understand what I'm saying to you?" Carlson also claims in her complaint that Ailes once said people at an event that he likes to stay seated when women greet him, so they have to bend over to say hello. The Fox News CEO also called Carlson sexy, but too much hard work, and had said she had slept with three former, that he had slept with three former Miss Americas, but never her, according to the complaint.
I you know what? I believe every word she's saying.
She was crowned Miss America in 1989. Carlson states in her complaint that Ells also denied her various opportunities that were afforded to other Fox News hosts, including reducing her compensation, severely curtailing her appearances as a guest commentator, blocking her from appearing as a substitute host, refusing to assign her to cover high visibility events, refusing to give her social media, public relations, and advertising support, stunning, ostracizing, and humiliating her both publicly and privately, and then ultimately decreeing that her contract not be renewed. So she's requesting compensation for mental anguish and punitive damages in her suit, asking for a jury trial, which is so funny because for a couple reasons. One, obviously she's a huge hypocrite working for this organization.
Come on, dog.
There's no reason to expect any level of fairness from this organization.
They're gonna eat her alive.
You expect them to keep it professional when the entire thing is about holding women back? Like, you bought into that for the money, and now you're kind of getting your comeuppance. That being said, I hope she wins.
I hope she gets
every single dollar she deserves. Because as an organization, it's not fair, and they should have to play by the same rules as everybody else. And whether they promote that trash that they call news or not, they're mostly being an entertainment network, but it still is no call for them to get away with sexual harassment.
Nope.
And if the claims are true, she should win, and she should get anything, whatever the amount of money it is that she's asking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sucks because she seemed like a terrible person.
Right.
You know, and so does this network. So it's right. Like, who do you root for in a situation like this?
Right.
Somebody to win and get the money at charity?
And basically, it's one of those things where sexual harassment don't exist unless the sexual harassment directly happens to me.
Yeah, she couldn't wait to cop that plea. You know what I mean? Could not wait to cop that plea. Went straight from, I remember when she was saying, I forget who it was that brought it up, but she was at the words that came out of her mouth or something to the effect of, oh, that person's just overplaying how bad the atmosphere was. Like, they just, you know, the kind of boys will be boys, type attitude, that she was trying to promote, for somebody other than herself. Right? When it came to her, it was, oh, wait a minute, you know, I don't, now this is a little bit different. This is talking about me. So I don't know if I want
to. I'm an exception to this rule.
Right. Yeah. I don't want to. Now it's my turn to get some, you know, time for me to get some money. So it definitely happened for real. Before when it was just me speaking on sexual harassment, about other women, that's different.
That's completely different.
So
they make shit up, but I don't.
yeah, my shit was different, you know. But it's funny too, because I expect, especially most white women feminism, to ride with her.
Oh, they're gonna ride.
Yeah, like most white women feminism, they, it's like, just like they stand for Megyn Kelly whenever she says anything slightly feminist, they just, oh yes, oh girl, yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and then
it's like, yeah, you're just gonna ignore all the racism and homophobia, right, and all the other shit she does,
right? And then next breath she turns out and says fuck you, but you don't care nothing about that though.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, obviously she put up with a lot of this banter and shit because that's what the show was.
And that's why I said I believe her.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think they have a video of some of it in a supercut.
You know, I was at really? Lorraine last night, and some guy came up to me and said, I saw you on Fox and Friends this morning. Is Gretchen as cute in person as she is on TV?
And what did you answer, America?
She's gorgeous, gorgeous. Look at her today. Beautiful dress. You look wonderful. Gretchen,
how are you?
You look wonderful. Gretchen, very, very beautiful dress, though. Great color, right? In summary, Gretchen's beautiful.
Beautiful. You look beautiful.
Well,
thank you.
Look fabulous, too. Thanks.
Brian, can you tell Gretchen she is definitely winning today? She looks amazing.
Wow.
And no, it's not because Fox and Friends is too hot, but Gretchen is really too hot. Blame her.
And skirts. Gretchen, I guess what you're wearing right now, the skirt might cause some problems.
It would not be advisable for the pantomime.
Gretchen is going to ride the mechanical bull live from our snowy plaza.
Really?
This is the bullshit that women have to deal with. Well, I'm just going to do my fucking job.
And especially women at Fox, because it's a bastion. They try to give you a Mad Men-esque atmosphere. They sell this. Like, as soon as you take this job, you know this is what you will be subjected to. You think you gonna, because you're going to get up there and let it happen, too. Like,
yeah,
you're under no illusion. It would be like, you know what? To me, you know what? This would be like Stacey Dash suing for racism.
Yeah.
I was racially discriminated against at Fox News. It's like, yeah, no shit. But you also were cool with it.
Right.
With them, with them promoting this shit. Don't, I'm like, both things can be true at the same time.
Yes, they can.
You don't deserve to be racially discriminated against. You promote racial discrimination.
Correct.
Both of those things happen.
A lot of viewers are concerned that I'm going to have the skirt on when I do it.
I'm not sure, but concerned, that's an interesting word.
In the next 2 minutes, will Laura Ingraham be able to change outfits because she has come to the studio dressed identically to Gretchen?
Well, unbelievable.
What are you thinking?
All women should be reading bra stories.
Right.
But then again, some men are experts at bras.
You learn that in Broadcasting 9. Bra stories defer to the babe.
Doesn't waxing hurt?
It does. He looks at me for that.
We'll try that on an upcoming episode of Fox and Friends.
Do you like a woman masseuse or a male masseuse? Just so I know.
Oh, my God.
Not on TV.
I'm not
going
to. You know what? Now, Laura, now you know what I go through. Okay?
Right,
would you like to correct yourself on that other talking point about men being dominant?
Oh, we don't have any time. I wish I did. We're running over.
Okay, because HR's on the phone because you called me a skirt.
I apologize.
Yeah.
Okay. I got to read that manual again.
I'll bring it to your office right after the show. Okay.
It was the only sex.
Yeah, and especially when your job is to laugh the shit off.
Right.
Like, your whole thing is like, well, don't break the illusion that you're not cool with this. Like, we gotta.
Oh, and she was breaking it because she was like, hey, when you get to talking about HR on the air and I.
Yeah,
bring...
but she played it as a joke, though.
She did.
You see what I'm saying? Like, she couldn't have actually been like, hey, man, cut that shit out. This ain't smiling. Ain't no jokes about this.
There ain't no jokes.
Don't do
now,
that shit again.
She smacked with a lawsuit.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying.
Right, but it was kind of after
the job
fact.
Is to be like, ha, 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 it's cute. We're all being sexist. I'm here to be called Titties, basically.
Right.
Titties McGee with the news report coming up.
Mm-hmm. This person that came on here and made you laugh. All right?
Well, other than sitting next to you every day.
Right, that's true. I'm not, I'm having fun with
you're
it.
You're just sexist.
Yes.
Okay.
I jest that I'm sexist.
Just in time.
I think we should read the headlines.
I think it's just you.
Okay.
There you go. Also, Fox News sex discrimination bombshell as makeup artist for Megyn Kelly and Gretchen Carlson claims that they were called bitches and forced to watch graphic sex videos and fired when they complained. Now, here's my question. There's probably zero chance Megyn Kelly and Gretchen Carlson didn't know about this.
Of course.
There's probably zero chance they didn't know, because these were their makeup people. They do their shit every day. They got fired. I guarantee they still were in contact, in some level, I guarantee they reached out. And you know what? Wasn't shit gonna happen till Gretchen lost her job. And I'm sure Megyn Kelly probably ain't got shit to say about this.
Yeah, she lost her job. She's like, girl, let's go get them together.
Well, Megyn Kelly got a job.
No, the other
so,
one.
So yeah, she, I'm sure she like, that's job. My name Paul, that's between y'all. And Gretchen like, I ain't got no job. Let's get in formation. Mm-hmm. Okay, ladies, now let's get in formation. That's how I imagine they play it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
You know. Fox News sex discrimination bombshell as makeup artist for Megyn Kelly and Gretchen Carlson claimed they was called bitches and forced to watch graphic sex video, fired when they complained. Just days after Gretchen Carlson's sexual harassment lawsuit against Fox News chief Roger Ailes, Daily Mail Online has learned of a new complaint. The three makeup artists, Lena Jemot, Hilda Correa LaPola, and Maureen Walsh, all worked at Fox News for years. They claimed they were terminated after they complained about the preferential treatment given to the Caucasian male in their department. What? Fox News was giving preferential treatment to a white man?
You don't say.
Color me shocked. I'm going to have to call bullshit. I'm going to have to call bullshit on this one. I just don't think they would do it. You know, I think these, I mean, up until then, I was believing them. But, I mean, you telling me Fox News would give a white man I can't even imagine. So then, Bradley Stinson allegedly referred to the women as bitches and girls. If they were all doing makeup, maybe he was gay and he's gonna be like, nah, I could do that because I'm gay. I'm just being sassy and that's okay for me to do it. Which in HR, it ain't, dog. This ain't Sex in the City. You can't do that shit at work. Bitch, I was telling you, nope, you about to get fired, dog.
Refresh.
I ain't refreshing nothing. Y'all about to hear this fucked up voice. Mm-hmm. What was the issue?
Static.
Well, all right. Don't start and I won't be none is what I always say. All right, let me refresh, guys. Give me a second. But yeah, maybe that's what it was. Cause you know, some people do that colloquially, like as friends, like, oh yeah, I call her a bitch, but, we all doing makeup and shit and it's cool. Stinson displayed on his iPad video of a video of a transgender woman describing sexual acts in graphic language to Jemot Wash and Kimberly Goyfel. He called Andrew Napolitano, the senior legal analyst, his sugar daddy. Oh yeah, so yeah, they definitely implying this is a gay dude if he called another man his sugar daddy. Jemot says Stinson allegedly raised his open hand as if he was going to slap her and then began pointing his index finger at her face. The EEOC dismissed the claims, but now Jemot is pursuing them in U.S. District Court. She filed on June 28th. Mm-hmm. So, sounds like the shit is still going. And, surprise, surprise, Fox News may have some workplace issues with women and equality.
Right.
I'm sure you're shocked, Karen, as I am.
Mm-mm.
Nope, you're not shocked?
Mm-mm.
Okay, all right, well, Karen's not shocked, but obviously color me shocked because I just can't believe this would happen. You know, I feel like you guys. I mean, I'm totally blindsided by this news.
Take you for a loop. Yeah, I understand.
Let's see. What else did I want to?
They've
cover?
Always been pro woman.
Mm-hmm. That's true. All right. Should I? I'm just double check. Oh yeah, I guess we can do fucking with black people. I did have a story in here that I wanted to cover specifically, even though I feel like we have been fucked with from the inception of this show from the time we turned it on.
Yes, we have.
But we're gonna play it anyway. Fucking with those black people, we're just fucking with those blacks, we're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys, time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people, the game where we go all around the globe and we find articles that fuck with us and we assign point scores from 0 to 100 intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with. Today's contestants, everybody, so Wendy Williams had some comments to say about HBCUs on her show, and she is basically saying stupid shit like, how would people feel if I applied to a historically white college?
You mean every other college?
Mm-hmm. You mean like you probably did? I mean, what school did you go to, Wendy right. Williams? Cause, you know, she had to get her say in, you know, she was talking about, you know, Jesse Williams, and she had to have her hot take, you know, so she couldn't help it. Let me see if I can find the original comments. Let's see, it's just Wendy Williams sells out black people. See, I can never tell if that's just, a fan saying that, or
yeah, because you know how YouTube go. You click on it, you hear some beats and shit going in the background. You're like, this is not what I wanted.
Right, girl, let me tell you about Wendy. You're like, this ain't the actual you video. Know. All right, let me see if this is it.
It's anatomy. He apparently is in hot water.
Okay.
With people calling him a
taking a second to load. Let me see if I can. I gotta wait for this shit to load for a second. But yeah, apparently she decided to take on with Jesse Williams. And by the way, this is probably like a problem online. It's a problem on TV. Everybody gotta have a hot take, and they want their shit to be different than everybody else's. So it's like, look, I figured out a way to make Jesse Williams' speech fucked up. Like, you can't just let it stand and be like, actually, it was a good speech. It spoke to a lot of people, spoke to a lot of issues. There really was nothing wrong with anything he said. It's like, no, I got an angle. Have you thought about it this way? What if we lived on a planet where it was run by apes? Okay? Grant me that premise. Now, wouldn't he be wrong to be making it about race when apes was taking aim on the planet? Think about it. The Statue of Liberty is laying up on a beach somewhere, and this nigga talking about race. We'll be right back after these commercials.
He apparently is in hot water with people calling him a racist against white people for his speech at the BET Awards. Well, here's a reminder and then we'll talk.
We've been floating this country on credit for centuries, yo, and we're done watching and waiting while this invention called whiteness uses and abuses us, burying black people out of sight and out of mind while extracting our culture, our dollars, our entertainment like oil, black gold, ghettoizing and demeaning our creations, then stealing them, gentrifying our genius, and then trying us on like costumes before discarding our bodies like rinds of strange fruit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, what he said is what he said. Now people have started an online petition. There are about 17,000 people who've already signed up to have him fired from Grey's Anatomy, saying that his speech was racist. And now Shonda, who's, you know, the queen of the network, she has shut this down, saying nobody's getting fired, it wasn't racist, and just everybody be quiet. In 1 minute.
Now see, right there, she should have stopped. That's right when she should have stopped, to be quite honest. But she had to keep going.
On to the next topic.
She should have seen right there, the audience does not seem, they seem to be on Jesse's side.
You know, we talk race here a lot on Wendy, and, you know, I must say to you that, you know, he was on BET, and that his speech was very poignant on one hand. On the other hand, you know, I would be really offended if there was a school that was known as an historically white college. We have historically black colleges. What if there was the end?
She is stumbling through this so bad.
Because the shit don't make no sense.
She's stumbling through this so bad.
And that's what happens when you don't know your history or you're just talking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just keep that real. You just talking. Historically white colleges, every fucking college outside of a HBCU.
At 12:15.
Yeah, it was 12:15. Exactly. If I'm not mistaken, it was.
Now you see something. Now you see now. You done fucked up, you know that thing.
I see what I'm saying.
No, I thought.
No, so I'm saying that you done fucked up. No, you know that, don't you?
No,
you done fucked up, don't you? No, it don't. No, you done fucked up.
Without the tape.
That was what was going through her head.
Yeah, yeah.
When they stopped clubbing.
It wasn't a well thought out thought process. You could tell it, you know, because it's almost like you're going off the cuff, because if this was, you know, you'd have went through your mind a little bit, it'd have been more thought out.
Now, you see, now, Wendy, that's her inner monologue right now. Now, you see, now, you know you done fucked up.
National Organization for White People Only. There's the NAACP. National, by the way, what is the C? Colored? We're still using colored?
Like, this is like bad stand-up.
Ooh.
Not to mention,
a lot of people in these organizations support you.
Not to mention, NAACP is not actually only. She added that only in there. You can be white in the NAACP.
Asians.
You can be a bunch of things. Native, you don't have Americans. To be black only.
Mm-mm. Like, I get it. Look, everybody's quiet.
Right. Because you fucking see, up. Cause now, you see now, Wendy, everybody's being quiet cause.
Now you see something. Now you see now, you done fucked up, you know that, don't you?
Mm-hmm. You know that, don't you, Wendy?
I see what I'm saying.
I thought.
No, so, you know what I'm saying? You done fucked up. No, you know that, don't you?
Yeah, I know
you done fucked up, don't you?
You done fucked up, Wendy.
Right, that's why they're looking at you sideways.
Okay. You're leaving me out here to hang to dry by myself. One wrong word, I know. I'm choosing my words carefully, but what I'm saying Mm-mm. is racism sucks, you know, and we can all do better in our own households, educating ourselves, teaching our children to make it better. National speeches like this will always rub people the wrong way, just like, you know, white people might be offended because Spelman College is, you know, an historically black college for women. You might feel funny about that. I know I feel funny, like I just told you, if there was a white college or whatever, you know, just
because I don't have any historical context and I just say things, but I can't stop myself. Like, I know in her head right now, she's like, why can't I stop myself from talking?
And I bet you it probably made sense in her mind. Like, it's sometimes mm-hmm. things make sense in your mind, and then when you execute, you go, oh, no.
In her mind, she's just going, why won't I shut the fuck up? Like, I guarantee her mind is trying to fix this as it's coming out, but you got to feel this segment.
If I'm not mistaken,
now you see something.
Now you see, Wendy.
Now you see, you done fucked up, you know that, don't you?
I'm saying
NAACP. That's not, you're not fucked up. No, you know that, don't you?
But Spelman only let.
No, you're not fucked up. No, you're not fucked up.
I feel like that's what was going through her head right there.
This is why I love doing this show.
She was seconds away from being like, but all lives matter to me.
But she was like, girl. She was thinking, Kurt, don't say that.
Okay, not all lives matter is bad. Okay, that's too far. Okay.
Because it's like the, can't we all just get along show? Yeah!
Mm-hmm. She tried to bring it back.
Right, that's when she was like, they start clapping. Oh, cause, and they, the cameraman shot at some bunch of black folks. They were looking at her like, girl, no.
Mm-hmm. One girl tied her hair up, dog. Oh my God. Like, you on your own. Oh my God. Yeah. Shout out to these sisters that ain't clapping a fucking bit. They like, bitch, I went to Howard.
Right.
I don't want to hear this.
I graduated from Spelman.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. God.
She looked like I made it.
Mm-hmm. I made it through them 2 minutes.
Right, cause she went ready.
Suzanne, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
One wrong word.
Yeah.
One wrong clap. Right?
Some white woman.
Exactly. So, Gwyneth Paltrow is...
Yeah, so apparently it was a lot of wrong words because... allegedly she has lost her Chevrolet sponsorship over her anti-HBCU and anti-NAACP remarks.
Cause these organizations support these causes, dog.
Yeah. So that is, you know, that's the alleged, you know, thing that, like, I don't know if it's been confirmed yet.
Yeah, and I've heard other sponsors.
But it was just in April. She just got this deal in April. All-inclusive deal with Chevrolet, Carrot Media.
Oh, so she just got this deal.
And Ace Media Corp to include on-air promotions in 2016 for the 2016 Chevy Malibu. The activation included custom digital content, social media marketing, and it was set to continue for the rest of the year, but not anymore. Sources say Wendy has been sobbing all week over the loss, although she refuses to apologize. Of course not. Too proud for that. We're not sure who exactly pulled the plug, but it should be noted that Andrea Holmes Tompkins, president and CEO of Ace Media Corp, the company responsible for facilitating the Chevy partnership, graduated from Howard University.
Come on, dog.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who you're talking about. Mm-hmm. A lot of you talking smack about HBCUs, but a lot of black folks graduated from these universities.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, you don't know who in what position was like, oh, word, that's what we say.
Who are you finna try? I bet it. Who are you finna try? I bet it ain't me. Oh, bitch, it ain't me. Caps, caps, caps. Who are you?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how that letter went out. Somebody was like, girl, did you see what Wendy said? And that right there it was her response.
Mm-hmm. I guarantee it. She said, what? Say what now? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Cut the funding.
Yeah, because she was like, my money can go somewhere else.
You need to shut the fuck up when grown folks is talking.
I bet you next time it come up, I bet you she won't say a motherfucking word.
So obviously, actually Roland Martin, like, just tied her a new one on his News One segment.
I love him and his ascots.
And, he was wearing a tie for this one, but,
oh, not the tie!
Yeah,
he makes me laugh.
I go to work. But yeah. He said, he's supposed to come on to Wendy Williams' show, today. I didn't see it, but, Thursday, okay. For Thursday, and maybe they'll figure something out. I don't know, but yeah, apparently he went in on her.
I don't know, I haven't heard it.
I really am tired of these wannabe Stacey Dashes who clearly don't bother to actually read a book. Wendy, let me help you out. You do realize that the NAACP was founded by a mix of folks who are black and white. You do realize that the first president of the NAACP, Wendy, was white. And also, you can go down the line, the treasurer, again, the chairman of the executive committee, they were white, born out of the Niagara movement. If you actually bothered to read something, you would realize that. It's also called the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. White folks have always been members of the NAACP. Always. But let me deal with HBCUs. First of all, historically black colleges and universities, Wendy, was a federal designation given in 1965 to recognize these historical universities. They are historical universities. Now, one of the reasons why you don't have historically white universities is because we just simply call them universities. The fact of the matter is, you go around the country and you'll see universities, Wendy, they're 70, 80, 90, 95% white. We live in a world where, frankly, we have set apart if you're black. You've never heard somebody say Hillary Clinton met with a group of white pastors. No, because they simply say pastors. But they'll say she met with a group of black pastors. Because what is mainstream has always been white in America, Wendy. You should know that, right? Because you do know that for your show, you do know that you go to black ad agencies, which are different from ad agencies. You've always seen that level of separation, Wendy. But you should also know that because your ratings, they separate your black female viewers from female viewers. So it's finally interesting how you can somehow criticize that. But how about this, Wendy? You ever heard of Bluefield State University, West Virginia, historically black college and university? It's now 70%+ white. Lincoln University, where Thurgood Marshall went to college, and HBCU, it's now 60% white. You do realize that 1 in 4 students at HBCU are non-African American. That's because historically black colleges and universities have given opportunities to students regardless of color, and so more Hispanics and more poor whites are taking advantage of that. See, if you actually bother to read a book and not gossip magazines, you might know these things. Wendy, let me help you out with something. When you're on TV and you have no idea what you're talking about, shut the hell up.
Oh.
Don't open your mouth.
Oh.
Don't embarrass yourself because you sound silly. But I also find it interesting that you would criticize HBCU and you would criticize NAACP. But you won the cover of Ebony Magazine.
Mm.
You won the cover of Uptown.
Receipts!
You've been on the cover of Essence Magazine. Black magazines. Oh, yeah, I know. Stacey Dash had the exact same view. I'm tired of y'all wannabes who have television shows and radio shows who sound utterly ignorant of our own history. Please, do me a favor. Stick to gossip.
Oh!
Stick to stupid stuff. Stay out of real issues because, frankly, you embarrass black people and you show you simply have never actually read a book.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the new...
Jesus Christ! The uncut savagery. The just well, throw in the towel. Throw in the goddamn towel. Jesus Christ. Oh, that was, oh man, I don't even know, what can encapsulate that one? Oh.
Black rains are killing you white folks, I lay my motherfucking eyes on!
Delicious!
Oh, he was not here for it.
Oh man, don't that feel better, y'all? Don't that feel so much better? Oh,
yeah, because so. You could tell she was talking about something she had no idea. She didn't know.
Like, this
trying
been
to stretch a segment out.
This has been a tough show, you know. I understand. Y'all guys have went through a lot listening to this show. That's why you got to treat yourself, guys. You got to go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT. Mm-hmm. Loot Crate is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter code TBGWT at checkout to get a $3 off of any new subscription. Today's this month, July's specific theme is futuristic. They packed July's crate with items from some of pop culture's favorite prognostications of science and the future. Look towards tomorrow with items from Rick and Morty, Futurama. Love Futurama. One of my favorite. It's on Netflix. Sometimes I just put it on Futurama and do things around the house with Futurama in the background. Show. Well, you never have to miss it because it's still on. And I actually did watch it. So, it's all kinds of new seasons you probably never even saw because they had several more seasons. Star Trek, Mega Man, Valiant Comics, all this stuff. Including, they come with like, models, figures, wearable gear, all kinds of stuff. My niece walked in my house and saw some of our Loot Crate stuff sitting on the counter. And I mean, if you have kids in your life and stuff, these make great gifts. They love them. They come over. She's like, oh, Dragon Ball Z. I said, that's right. That's Goku, Super Saiyan. And she said, this is so cool. I like this. And I gave it to her. I was like, it's yours now.
She was like, for real? I was like, yeah, I wouldn't.
She was like, you guys need to do unboxing videos. I said, you know what? This is why you're an enterprising young woman, because that is a great idea. We do need to do that.
Yeah, we do.
So, so lootcrate.com/TBGWT, code TBGWT. You get $3 off any new subscription. Do it before the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time to make sure you receive this month's crate before the cutoff happens. So, lootcrate.com. Alright. Let's get into, some more stuff that you guys might be into. How about this?
Yeah. Oh, shit!
Hey, you know I'm looking for a car thought to talk about.
Heard that been a long time.
Juice out of magazines. And they block and L they block and a juice box wet and a L suck flop light. Do I remember the word?
Gotti here go 12 bar. Gucci man got 9 car. We don't got them down no more. Oh, now we call them 5-star. 5-star nigga, that's a 5-star click. That's a 6-4-5. That's that new M6. Pay her bills, get her health. This might even pay her rent. And the way she give it to me, best money I ever spent.
Lie.
I can't even lie.
Lie.
I'm so super hot.
Hot.
Do not need her, will not keep her unless she is fly. Gucci man a thug, be your girl is a squirrel. See, she love me, now she love you, not now. All y'all bitches love me. If you in Atlanta, call up Gucci girl and beat me. You can find a 5-star hotel, you can meet me. 5-star bitch, that's a 5-star bitch, that's a 5-star, and that's a 5-star. If your credit's so high, you can nail stay fly. If your juice box wet and your head something fire, you a 5-star, and you a 5-star, and you a 5-star.
All right.
Hey!
That's right, y'all. We got a groovy tail.
What?
We is back.
Right?
Now, it's only one, so
we'll take it.
It's not a choice this time. We go straight in this group of tales. Love and Hip Hop Houston's. Now, this hadn't even started yet.
Yeah, I'm about to say, they need some lots of cast yet.
Is he confirmed? Is he signed? What is the deal on this? Love and Hip Hop Houston's Sauce Walker tried to recruit me. Mm-hmm. Now that Love and Hip Hop Houston has announced their cast, it was only a matter of time before someone sent in a groupie tale. Today's groupie tale is about Love and Hip Hop Houston's Sauce Walker.
Walker all proper.
He's one half of the Sauce Twins.
Never heard of them either.
You may know them from their favorite song, Barbecue Sauce. I think
Hot Sauce. Shrimp Sauce. You cocktail sauce, tartar sauce, the sauce you pick it, that's what they is.
It looks like they're just Sauce Twins, and it's with a Z. So that's maybe why.
Spell sauce then. Oh no, what happened?
Sauce is spelled right, but Twins got a Z on it.
Oh, sauce is spelled right. Okay, yeah. So it's TWINZ.
Their big song is Too Legit to Quit It.
Okay, I guess we need to. Okay.
All of my bitches legit. All of my color legit. All of the designer legit. Cut up the plug in legit. Rounds in the chopper legit. All of my diamonds legit. All of my houses legit. My bitch on Kelly legit. I'm too legit to quit. I'm too legit to quit.
Okay.
I'm too legit to quit. I'm too legit to quit. Yeah, I said that right, nigga. I'm too legit to quit.
Okay, so it's kind of like
that beat drop though.
A little different than MC Hammer.
Yeah, a little different, but legit it to quit it.
It's not too legit. Too legit to quit. Hi.
Has any do we probably got people that ain't even heard the first song. Play the MC Hammer one.
Oh, Jesus. Karen got me working. Hold on.
Yeah,
guys.
I do. In case somebody, because it might be somebody out there that might be like, who is it? What's the original version?
Don't be trying to,
and
put
I
this
wanna
on.
Hear the song.
There you go. Try to put this on somebody else. Let's see. Hammer. Too Legit to Quit featuring Saja. That must be who said, hey, hey!
Too legit to quit. Too legit. Too legit to quit. Too legit. Too legit to quit. Too legit. Too legit to quit. Sweat running all over my chest. I don't quit, no. I just press harder than I ever did before. Going for the dreams that I have in store in my mind. But I know that I'm making it. I gotta get money, nobody's taking it away. No, cause Hammer don't play that. You try to get mine, boy, you better step back, freeze. Cause you don't want none. I hustle for my muscle and you look weak.
I remember when he had a video dissing Jay-Z not too long ago. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You better run, boy. Alright. Back to this. The Sauce Twins.
Okay.
While a lot of you may not know him now, it's like you will see a lot of him on VH1. Get to know him now via one of his sexcapades below. Hint, you'll get a kick out of the ending, so keep reading.
Oh, Lord.
Disclaimer, groupie tales are submitted by our readers. We cannot confirm 100% accuracy of any story posted. Want to share your story? Email 118@ballalert.com. You can remain anonymous. I've been hesitating on telling my story, but fuck it. He's probably tried this a lot. I'm wanting ladies to stay away. Okay, so I met Sauce Walker at V-Live in Houston. I was visiting from San Antonio, so me and my friend decided to hit the strip club to see some beautiful women. eat good food, and ultimately have a good time. I noticed Walker in the corner with a white girl and the other sauce twin. So we made eye contact, but neither one of us talked until I went to the bar to get a drink and saw him get up and come behind me. He was talking to me, telling me I was very beautiful, asking me where I was from, complimenting me and all of that, telling me I look a lot like a lot of money. Okay. So at the end of the conversation, we exchanged numbers and I told him I called once I leave. Me and my, by the way, I love how they like, this nigga wasn't shit, came up on me for no reason and shit. So anyway, I gave him the digits and was like, when can we fuck? And we, you know, yada, yada, yada. like you was just clowning him. Anyway, Me and my friend stayed for a few more hours before and just enjoying the vibe of the club. But as soon as we left, I called him. He didn't answer.
Of course not.
Of course he didn't answer. Then I got a call a few minutes later and he was telling me to come to his condo. It was 20 minutes from my hotel, so I literally walked there. She must mean 20 minutes walking, right? Because she didn't mean 20 minutes driving. Because if something was 20 minutes, when I say something's 20 minutes away from somewhere, I'm normally thinking in a car, right?
Yeah.
Where's that at? 20 minutes away? Oh shit, well fuck that. Anyway, she walked. She walked up there.
She meant walking distance. She had to mean walking distance.
I don't know who want to fuck nobody that just walked a mile and a half.
To come to me.
You had to take a shower. Hopefully it wasn't too hot then.
I hope not.
I got to the condo. He came down, let me in, and brought me inside. Tell me why there's so many people in this approximately 950-foot condo. I like how she figured the square footage out immediately. She looked this up on her way on Google. I would. I feel like that's a groupie stable right there. Like, let me see what the motherfucking square footage of this condo is for. Oh, this ain't no loft. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
There's white girls on the sofa and some TSF members in the kitchen. Made me nervous as fuck. Anyway.
TSF.
Must be his crew, right?
Okay.
The Sauce family is my guess.
Yes, that's what they're going to be.
Anyway. Walker took me to his room where he was playing Mortal Kombat and we were talking. Like a few minutes later, he grips my thigh and things take off from there. I'm licking his stomach down to his privates and he does the same for me. His dick is pretty nice size, medium size, but pretty. And he loves missionary. When I tried to flip over for doggy, he flipped me back over for missionary. It was pretty decent. And after he let me use his shower. After he fucked my walking sweaty pussy. Then I said, let me shower, get this funk up off me. I laid back in bed and he pretty much changed mood wise, got real serious and asked me if I wanted to be his hoe. As in pay him for working. What the fuck? You just gave me dick and expect me to work for you? This is what made me sick. I can have sex with a man and not be a hoe after especially a working one. He explained the procedure and how white girls are worth more, so on. And so that's when I pieced everything together. So ladies, use this as a warning that everything that glitters ain't gold.
And every sauce ain't sweet.
I don't care if it's Tevises, necklaces. It ain't all gold because it's glittering. Okay, ladies. He lured me in with his chain.
The sweet and sour was all sour.
That's the sauce turn.
Yes.
Sounds like this sauce is a little salty.
Oh, yeah, it is.
He lured me in with his chains and diamonds, but he had different intentions and used his glitz and dick to try to make me a working girl. Be well. Let's go to the comments.
Oh, this ought to be good.
London Lewis says, laugh my ass off, girl. Man of Morehouse says, these are the same bitches who claim to be ladies. Bitch is a bird and got treated as such. No fucks given. Lemon Drop Pop says, this groupie tale was terrible. Please do not put up no more groupie tales where they only talk about the sex for two sentences. This was not.
She wants some detail.
That's right. She's like, she want to be like, I juggled the balls. I swallowed the gravy.
Yeah, she was like, what was made? What was this sauce made out of? Tell me the ingredients. Was they organic?
Right. Maybe the sex wasn't that good. It was only missionary. They didn't switch positions.
Right. So she was like, I ain't too much to tell you.
Yeah, it sounded like she said, kiss my stomach down to my private. So it sounded like they didn't do no oral.
No true foreplay.
She might have led you a favor leaving all that out.
She might have.
This was not hot or steamy, and the story doesn't sound right. See some beautiful women. You bi, went with your liquor friends and acted a fool because it's not your hometown. Got his attention, exchanged numbers. She called him that night. She walked 20 minutes to get to him on her first night in a city that's not her hometown. She got down with him while this 950 foot condo was full of people. She got the game ran on her, and then she acted like, I'm just saying. You know what? She got a good point. Let me drop pop. I mean, what was she expecting? He never treated her right. Didn't even call her Uber. He made her walk up there and shit. And of course, hating ass Terrell Jones leaves the final comment. I appreciate the fact he giving out job to these young bitches.
Oh no.
He should call this dick the stimulus package. Oh, hating ass Terrell Jones, don't you ever change.
And now you
a five-star bitch, a five-star bitch. I need a five-star bitch, another five-star bitch, a five-star bitch. It's your boy, yo, got it, I do grade A shit. I'm the realest nigga walking, and it's the remix. And I'm still out here looking for a five-star chick. When I catch her, I'ma bless her with a five-star kid. She was natural-born hustler, she ain't chasing no suckers. Only mess with real niggas, she ain't never fucked a buckle. So your cars and your jewels, that shit don't excite her. But the hating ass hoes in the club gon' fight her. You was born in the 8th with the school in D.C. Got a job in Dallas, Texas, then you move to Tennessee. If you ain't a five-star, go ahead and face it. That'll make you basic. Ain't a five-star, ain't a five-star.
All right. Man, that's the best way to end it, right?
I mean, know, right?
What else is there to say, guys? It was, I think a lot of people will enjoy this episode.
Yeah, until we get another one.
Yeah, so let's go to Sword Ratchetness, and then we'll get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Play Guess the Race tomorrow. This went long enough. What's my sword ratcheting sound effects? Here we go. A naked sword-wielding man was arrested Wednesday night, June 15. Police arrested a man after he allegedly wounded another man with a sword. James Livers, 45, was arrested on South 3rd Street just after 6:30 a.m. Officers said they observed him running down the street naked.
Oh!
Wielding a sword. A victim ran towards the officers telling him that Livers was trying to kill him. That is when they noticed heavy bleeding coming from the victim's arm. Police said Livers obeyed orders to drop the sword and was taken into custody without incident. Livers is charged with first degree assault and held on $5,000 bond, and he's doing court June 17th. Why was he naked? You know what, these sword motherfuckers, you never know with them.
He probably some kind of drugs.
I don't know, he just tried to kill, like, did they fuck and then he pulled the sword out and tried to kill the dude?
He didn't enjoy it. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with this stuff, guys. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, make sure you go to Loot Crate, lootcrate.com/TBGWT, and put in code TBGWT and get your percentage off, guys. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.